And what we're doing, starting with last Sunday, is we're preparing this church for the beginning of next year to officially charter ourselves as a church, which means that you have a church constitution and a covenant. And just like when this country was formed, they had a constitution that guided this country. And so we're getting ready to form a church constitution and to charter this church, a great thing, an awesome thing to be a part of a brand new church. Just to review from last week, who is the church? According to scriptures, we looked at this last week together. If we were to define the church, who is the church? Well, you weren't here, Chandler, so I'm not going to let you guess. I'll let someone else. All right. Who is the church? Does anybody remember from the scriptures? Who is the church? Gene? Yeah, the church is the gathered group of baptized believers, people who have come to understand with their heart and embrace that Jesus is the Christ, the one whom God has chosen to take away our sins, and that He is Lord. You've come to that convinced faith in that, and that you have indicated that faith by publicly being baptized. This is the church. It's a gathered group of people in any one place who have been baptized as believers in Jesus. And the church, of course, of the entire world, the church throughout history is all those who have come to faith in Jesus. But in a local place, it is that local gathering of the people who have been baptized as believers in Jesus. And what is the church's mission? We began this because it's very important for us to know. If we're going to form ourselves, which we are, by God's grace, here is Down City Church, in this city, right in the heart of the city, we need to know what the mission is of this church. And what is that mission, according to Scripture?
Grow up into Jesus Christ.
That's right. God's mission for the church is that we would grow up into Jesus. So in other words, God wants me as a believer who has indicated that faith by public baptism that I am a follower of Jesus, now to grow up into Jesus' forgiveness, to grow up into Jesus' endurance, to grow up into Jesus' purity, to grow up into Jesus' mercy, to grow up into Jesus' forgiveness, and so on. I'm a baby, and Jesus is completely, obviously God, completely mature, and I've been born into His family. And God now wants me as the church, an individual part of the church, and us collectively, together and individually in this church, to grow up into Jesus' maturity. So that my current state of endurance, my current state of love, my current state of purity will mature to grow up into Jesus. And not only that, Jesus, the Bible makes plain, His mission for the church is twofold: to grow up into Jesus, and while you are growing, to go out there for Jesus. As you are growing together as a church, everyone growing into Jesus' maturity, you are also simultaneously going out into the city, into your neighborhood, into your workplace, and you are speaking for Jesus, declaring to people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That is the mission of the church. So you could say it this way: God's mission is that we grow and that we go. That's His mission. So we're going to know that Down City Church is on mission when that's happening. You're going to know that your life as a believer is on the mission that God wills for you in His Word, when you are growing into His maturity. You're not staying the same. My dad was a pastor for over 30 years. And my dad had said to me, sometimes, Ted, there are some people who come to church and they live the same year over 30 years in a row. They never change. They're the same unbelieving, grumpy, unforgiving person they were 30 years ago. They just lived another year. It's 1977. Or 1999, except now it's 2009. They haven't changed. That's not God's will for us. God's will, and that's why I mentioned to you last week how my brother, who loves his four-year-old daughter, said to me, I wish that she would always stay little. Well, he wouldn't when she's 14 if she was still sucking her thumb. That'd be embarrassing. God wants us to grow. So that is God's... If you are a believer in Jesus, His intention and mission for your life and for this church is that we will grow. So that way, when people walk into this church, they will have a sense of the divine. They're going to walk in here and they're going to see the body of Jesus because we are growing in His maturity. And at the same time, we're out there in the world going and making more followers of Jesus. Well, the question is how to do this. How do we fulfill, how do we accomplish this mission? I mean, it'd be like you, God saying to me and to all of you into this church, I want you, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to grow up into Jesus's endurance and forgiveness and purity and love and all those things. And to go out there and make more disciples of Jesus, that's a huge challenge. I mean, that'd be like you telling me, who has no carpentry skills at all, go, Ted, put me in the middle of a field and say, Ted, build a mansion. Well, I mean, you may as well ask me to walk to the moon. I mean, my chances are slim. All right? Jesus, the Bible says that's God's mission for us to do this. Well, how is it that we are enabled to accomplish this mission? I want us to look at four texts this morning that will answer that. I want to first go to the book of Ephesians in the middle of the New Testament. So if you started in Matthew and you work your way back, Mark, Luke, John, through the Gospels, and then Acts, and then you go back about halfway through the New Testament. And by the way, if you don't know where to go, you can look at the table of contents in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, E-P-H-E-S-I-A-N-S. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to pick up where we, at a scripture that we were dealing with last Sunday. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Here's God's mission for the church, but speaking the truth in love, the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And now look at verse 16. This is our first passage, how God, the church, is enabled to accomplish this mission. Verse 16 says, okay, from whom, from who? It says from whom. Who's the whom there? From Christ, the whole body being fitted. The word fitted means framed, like taking some wood and framing it together. The whole body, okay, from whom? From Christ, the whole body. And now he stops to say something about this body. It is being framed and held together by what every joint supplies. Just like in your physical body, you have muscles and bones, and all of them do different things. And together, when you see a complete human body, what you see is you see the elbow connected to this large bone here and this shoulder and all the sinews and blood vessels going. So the Bible says this whole body, this church, the church as at large and every local church, is framed and held together by what every joint is supplying according to the proper working of each individual part. So as everyone who becomes a believer in Jesus and is baptized demonstrating that, and God brings them into Down City Church, the church is being framed and held together as every one of us is working according to the way God made us. Just like God made the elbow to do certain things and the pinky to do certain things, God places within every body the exact joints that it needs for it to be framed and held together. Okay, so pause there. Now let's go back to the main point. So if you have a comma after Christ, from whom the whole body, then he talks about the body. It's framed and held together by what every joint supplies as every part works properly. Now let's go back to the main point. Christ, from whom the whole body, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Guess what we find out? It's actually Jesus who does this work. So it's not that God is saying to me today, it's not that God is saying to me, okay, it would be like me coming to a field and there's a piece of wood laying there and someone's saying that piece of wood, build a mansion. Well, a piece of wood, all he is a part. He can't make this body grow up into the maturity of a mansion. All he is a piece of wood or a piece of glass. He's part of who is the one that is actually going to fulfill this mission? Well, it's actually Jesus. What am I then? If it's actually the mission is to grow up into the maturity of Jesus and to go out for Jesus. And then this verse tells me, this is a very important text, that it is actually Christ who is causing the growth of that body. It is Christ who is growing this body into the maturity of himself. Then what does that say about me then? What I find out is this, is I and all of you are a carefully chosen and crafted piece, especially equipped to perform certain functions in this body. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, if you look back to chapter 2 and verse 10, we are His workmanship, we are His work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So here's what's happening. God is saving people and placing them then in His church. Okay? And by the way, every local church is a microcosm, is the church as a whole in miniature. So what God is doing, the big thing He's doing in this world right now is building His church. And His church is made up of people right now who gathered 12 hours ago in a faraway land. And they're resting. There are people all over the earth that are believers in Jesus. And together, and not only them, but people who have died before us, who are believers in Jesus, together, we are all this huge body, the body of Christ. And now, in our time and life, we are, as a local church, the whole church in miniature. So it's almost like Down City Church. We might be the left pinky toe of the body. So we're part. I mean, you know, as large as the church is, maybe we're a cell in the left pinky toe, and within that cell, we have everything we need for us within the body of Jesus and ourselves in miniature, that body, to be what God wants us to be, to grow into maturity and to go out for Jesus. So what does that mean then? That means that if Jesus is the one who is actually going to cause us, every one of you, there are no exceptions, by the way, everyone who follows Jesus and comes to know Him as Savior, Jesus is going to cause him or her to grow up into the maturity of Jesus and to go out for Jesus. So then what is my task? If I'm one of the joints, my task is this, is to yield to the master carpenter, the one who is actually crafting this body, and to do what He made me to do. If Jesus made you to be a chandelier, be a chandelier. If He made you to be the carpet, the back door, the knob on the back door, you be what He made you to be. Because He's crafting this entire thing. So what does that tell us then? The proper growth of this body, both internally, in my own heart and in your heart, growing into Jesus' love, mercy, all these things, humility, etc. The proper growth of that happening inside of my heart and the proper growth of this body growing externally in size. For these things to happen, it depends on every member supplying what only you can supply. Okay? Now, I want to go now to our second text. All right? So go before Ephesians, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And guys, what we're talking about is so huge as far as the meaning and purpose of your life, because there's something big that God's up to on this earth, and you're a part of it. If you have been born again, you're a part of His church, and in this local church. All right, so here's what we know right now. Christ is building this body as every joint, the whole body is being framed like a house. He's framing it all, and it's being held together because every piece is functioning the way He made it to function. And so therefore, because you are using your the way God made you, you help me. If the hinges on the door are all where they're supposed to be and they pivot like they're supposed to, if I'm the door, then I'm able to do what I'm supposed to do. But if that pin is not there inside there, I can't go. So as each one of us is being, as I'm yielded to the Master Carpenter, Christ, You made me a nail. So I'm gonna be a nail. I'm going to be what You... As I yield to the Master Carpenter and do what He made me to do, the whole body is able to grow into the maturity that Jesus wants for me. All right? And able to go out effectively into this city to represent Jesus in a very beautiful way as the body is functioning. Now look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26 says. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's how much we are connected. We are absolutely connected with one another. Verse 27 says, Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Hey, how special is it that God, remember, it's God has placed you here in Down City Church. How special is that? That God knows that this little microcosm of the whole church in this one part of God's earth and in this one area of this part of God's earth, God placed you in this particular body. In other words, you know what God knows? God knows that this particular body needs you, and you need this particular body, or else you wouldn't be here. You know, a lot of times in America, especially I think certain parts of the country where there's a church on every corner, you have people have kind of a cavalier attitude towards being a part of the church. Well, I like the way this church, the program it offers there, or I like this maybe a little better. They have all this, like going to the buffet, you know. I like to choose different items. But we need to take a step back and realize that it is God is the one who has placed you in a particular place, because that particular body is what you need, and the people, the joints are in that particular body are what you need to grow to maturity. And they need you. They need you. So how is it that God does this? How is it that He uniquely equips me and you to function in this body? Well, look earlier in chapter 12 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, people who did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you were led astray to the mute idols. However you were led, at one time in your life, you were worshiping pieces of wood, statues that don't speak, they can't hear, they can't smell, they can't help you, but you were worshiping them. When you were a pagan, that's how you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Someone who truly has God's Spirit would never say that Jesus is damned by God. Which, by the way, there are some religions out there who do say that about Jesus, and they claim to be followers of God. Well, they're not. All right. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, no one can truly understand who Jesus is, that He really is God and the ruler of this universe, unless the Holy Spirit influences you to understand that. So today, by the way, if you're here this morning and you have come to a convinced faith that Jesus is Lord, it's because the Holy Spirit worked in your heart to understand that. Isn't that great? I mean, you've been blessed. Now look what verse 4 says. And by the way, let me just say this real quick. There are some people who erroneously teach that there is a special baptism of the Holy Spirit that happens after you are born again. Okay? And the reason why they say this is because in the first century of the church, if you read the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit first came, He came on people who had already been believers, but He initially came by pouring out Him. He was poured out on those first century Christians. So there's some people who read the book of Acts, the history book of the New Testament, and say, okay, so I see that if you want to receive the Holy Spirit after you are saved, you have to wait for the second outpouring of God's Spirit to come on you. But actually, we see here that that's not how when the Holy Spirit comes. Matter of fact, look at verse 13 of chapter 12. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. What we find is as the New Testament goes on, after you get past the first century, and as you're in the first century and start to go forward, you read later on in the New Testament letters to the churches, we see that the Holy Spirit is imparted to a person the day they are born again. When He first came in history, He came after they had believed. But as the New Testament develops, you see, as 1 Corinthians tells us, every single Christian receives the Holy Spirit. We know this in Ephesians and other places as the New Testament goes on. Okay? Now look what He says in verse 4 of chapter 12. Now there are varieties of gifts. There are within this body and within every body, in the body of Jesus, a variety of abilities that God gives to every single member. And these are extraordinary abilities. Every member of every particular church, the Bible says, how is it that God equips you? By His Spirit. The moment you're born again, God's Spirit lives in your life and gives you abilities that are extraordinary in certain ways. In other words, all of us, for example, are called to serve. All of us are called to have mercy. But there are some people in this body who God, even the way they think and their heart burden, they have a special desire to serve people. They see needs and they want to meet them more than the average person would. That's the way they're wired. That's the way they think. Okay, they've been given that ability by God's Spirit. And we can start giving a lot of different examples. But the bottom line is this. There are varieties of abilities given to every member. Next, he says in verse 5, and there are varieties of ministries. So someone has a gift, and they perform acts of service that are different from other people. They have this gift, and so with this gift, they now serve the body. And there are varieties of ways that people minister. By the way, he uses the word ministries, which means actually, as you and I exercise the ability that God's given me in an unusual way, it's actually an act of worship to God as I exercise that gift. It's a ministry. And verse 6 says, there are varieties of effects. This means there are varieties of results of those ministries. As I work out those ministries because of the gifts that God's given me, and I say, okay, God's made me with a special desire, the way I think, to serve the body in a certain way, and so I take on certain ministries, ways of doing this, there are varieties of effects of those ministries. Here's the bottom line, verse 7, or end of verse 6. But the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Why does God give to every member of His church, the whole church and the local church, gifts? He does it for the good of everyone. By the way, let me pause to say this. This is another error in what we find in a lot of what they call charismatic churches today. Because what happens is, and this is the problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, was that there were some first century Christians who, instead of exercising their gift for the good of everyone who was present, they were reveling in their gift for their own good. And in particular, it was the gift of what the Bible calls tongues. In the first century, when the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says that He came upon believers and gave them the ability to speak in a supernatural way in languages that they had never learned before. If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, there are people who could speak. Let's, for me, for example, I've never taken French. It'd be like me walking up this morning and all of a sudden speaking to you in French, and you guys are like, wow, amazing, this guy. Well, that would be the gift of tongues. Okay? And then also it appears in the book of Corinthians that there was also a kind of tongues that was almost kind of an angelic type of language that in that first century they could speak in. But what was happening was these people were going to church at the church of Corinth, and what was happening in that church was while they're there, they're walking in and people are speaking in tongues all over the place, and it's all a mass confusion. And he's saying, wait a minute. The gifts of the Spirit were given for the good of everyone, not for you. And that's what the problem was. Many, you turn on the television, right? You watch and you see these large crusades and people are running around the room and screaming and yelling, waving their hands and speaking. It's like, what is going on here? Okay, that is not the gifting that God has given. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, he says, no, this what the kind of thing that we're seeing today is not New Testament gifting. And by the way, let me just explain this to you as well. That it appears particularly that the gift of tongues, along with other what we call miraculous gifts, the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles, and even the gift of, which was common in the first century, of prophecy, where a person would be given by God truth to declare to people, because they didn't have the full written New Testament, they would actually come up and give a prophetic word to someone that God is telling me to tell you. And matter of fact, you see this in the book of Acts, all right? As you go on in the New Testament, okay, what you see is that it appears that the miraculous gifts served a special purpose in the first century of the church, when the church was first founding. But as you go through the New Testament, you do not see this continue. For example, when you read the book of Galatians, you see the fruits of the Spirit mention no miraculous gifts. When you see Romans, where the list of gifts are given, Ephesians, where the list of gifts are given, and so forth, Peter, where the list of gifts are given. And the reason is, and I'll show you one place, and then we're going to go to our third passage. This is a pause. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Save our place in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And go to Hebrews, chapter 1. The Bible says in Hebrews, chapter 1, towards the very back of the New Testament, very close to the end, Hebrews, chapter 1, and verse 1, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. So he's saying, you know what? In times past, God did speak in different ways. In these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Just last night, I was at my concierge job, and the person who was in charge of religious education and the Diocese of Providence lives in my building. And they were talking to me last night about their dissertation that they're doing, and they were asking what I was speaking on this morning. And they said to me, well, okay, what do you think about the discerning of spirits, they said to me. Some of these New Testament, early New Testament. And I said, well, what we understand is this. The Bible teaches that, yes, God spoke in different ways at different times, but in these last days, His ultimate revelation has been given, and it is Jesus. See, what a mistake some people make is, that's why a lot of times you'll see people, they want to have some supernatural experience, right? So they'll go from one conference to the next or show up in church, and they want to see some miracle. They want to see someone do some amazing thing. Or they'll turn on television, and the guy says, you know, sow your seed of faith. Send to me $1,000, and man, watch what happens. They're looking for a miracle. But you know what happens? As you read the New Testament, as you go farther along, for example, in the pastoral epistle of Timothy, where Paul's instructing Timothy how the church is to function, you know what he tells him? Here's what you do, Timothy, in the church. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says to him in the next chapter, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In chapter 4, he says, preach the word. What do we find? As the New Testament goes on, what I need to grow into maturity is in the word. Because Hebrews chapter 2 says in verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. So in other words, what that is saying is this, that in the first century, the miraculous gifts served a special purpose, to confirm the word of the apostles. But it appears as the New Testament goes on that those miraculous gifts served a purpose in time, not today. And by the way, we find this as you read through the New Testament, that God gifts people at different times and in different places. The bottom line is this. The Jews seek for a sign, but we have Jesus. So learn to grow through His Word. Now let's go to our third passage. Here's what we know is this, that Jesus is the one who is building His church. And the church is being framed and fitted together because everyone has been given at least one extraordinary ability, extraordinary passion, way that you think. And every one of us is contributing. And we really highly esteem the fact that it's not by accident that God put me in the city of Providence in this particular church because this local body needs me and I need this local body. That's how serious I take being part of the church. It's not an accident. And why has God gifted me? For the common good, not for myself. You see some guy who's freelancing, you know, I've got the gift of this. He wants to go to some church that's going to let him exercise the gift that he thinks he has. And so his life is about him exercising his gift. Wrong. Any ability that God's given you, He's giving for the common good of that body because that particular body needs you. Do you surrender to your master today, the carpenter, and do what He made you to do? Now look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Right before 1 Corinthians is the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. Romans 12 verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. By the way, do you know that there is no such thing in the New Testament as a church attender? They're only church members. Everybody is a member individually of one another. That's why I mentioned last week there's this guy who's written this book called Stop Dating the Church. You embrace where God has placed you Surrender to the master carpenter, because this body needs you. And you need this body. And realize that if for that elbow that's sitting two rows behind you to function, you've got to be the proper ligament in the forearm there. Okay, so verse 6 says, Since this is true, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So, in other words, what he's saying is, since you have been gifted, go to work. You've been given abilities. Now, go minister. So, he says, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. As God has given you faith, declare that prophecy. If service, if that's your gift, serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's exhorting, God's especially giving you the heart, you're like a coach. You like to come along, it's just your passion to come alongside people and say, you can do it. Exhort. If God has especially given you the burden and the heart mindset to be a giver, to take material things and to give, he says to do it with liberality. And also this word, I think even more clear is the actual word there is a word that means with mental honesty, without ulterior motives. If you're a person that in this particular body, and we're all called to give, and we'll be talking about this in a couple weeks, but there are going to be special ones within this local body that's God's going to especially give the desire, the heartbeat, to use material needs to help this church grow up into maturity for Jesus and go out for Jesus. God's going to place certain ones in this body who have that gift. And he says that they are to do that without ulterior motives, but with a mental honesty, sincerely. And then next he says, he who leads to do so with diligence. The ones whose God has given them an extraordinary ability to lead are not to be lazy leaders, but diligent leaders. Work hard at it. And then, the one who has mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Oh no, there's another person that has a need. Guess I'll go. No, the one who God's given that a special ability to notice those things, you do so cheerfully. Because now, hey, the body needs you. Up! And so we go. By the way, this is why it is so important that you gather when the body gathers, or else how will you know what the needs are? If God's given you a special thought and heart passion to behind the scenes, to serve, okay, the leaders have laid out this plan, or we see this need, and so I have a special passion of being able to say, okay, all right, to accomplish that plan, it's going to take steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's the way I think. That's the way I feel. All right, let's roll into action. I'm coming to the body on Wednesday night and I hear that there's someone in great need and I have the gift of mercy. I'm ready to roll. Or it's declared that we're going to have this particular kind of outreach, and because of that, we're going to need extra gifts. People supply material needs and everyone is giving, but the givers say, okay, Ben, I'm ready to jump in. Or the leader says, boy, we need to go in this direction. They're going to dream and plan and go. And so together, everybody, whom, the body is. And this is why, again, it's so important that all of us, you embrace what the master carpenter has made you to be. And when the body gathers, gather with the body. That way you know the needs and you can exercise your gifts. By the way, someone may say, well, how do I know what my gift is or what my gifts are? The Bible says this, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So I ask you, how do you know your gifts? Well, what do you have a burden for? What is it that as you're with the body that you find you typically, what do you tend to notice that and you want to meet? What need? God is at work in you. Have you been equipped in a certain way? Has God given you a certain ability? Is the body benefiting from that particular ministry that you're doing? Okay, that's what God wants you to do. That's your gift. By the way, I would recommend to all of you today, if you want to go play soccer this afternoon, I would not recommend that you go on the soccer field and with your elbow try to kick the ball down the field. You know what? It's not going to go very far. Because the elbow wasn't made to kick the soccer ball. Your foot was. I would say to you, if someone wants to tell you a secret today, I said, hey, I want to tell you a secret. If you want to hear that secret, I would not recommend that you turn your mouth to them. And they whisper in certain, because you know why? Your mouth was not meant to hear secrets. Your ear was. What do we do in the body? The body needs to accomplish a certain task. What we do is, every member is exercising what God made him or her to do. And the body grows into the maturity of Jesus because the leader needs the mercy, and the mercy needs the servant, and the servant needs all these ones, the teacher. You know, there may be many of one gift in a certain church. God may place, as Down City Church grows, 200 servers and 100 mercy givers and 5 teachers. Maybe. God's working in every local body. You know, by the way, we know from Scripture there aren't going to be many teachers, you know. But we know that within every body, God's given those, and it may be many and few of another. So what do I learn from Romans 12? I learned this, that I should value every member of the body and how they are helping me grow up into Jesus. I treasure their role. I value them. And finally, let's look at one last one, and that's 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, way, way back, past Hebrews, getting almost to the very end. 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what is it that I'm to do with my gift? I am to serve you. It's like when you go to a restaurant. The other day, my mom and dad, on Wednesday, we were going down to a great music park down in Branson, Missouri called Silver Dollar City. And on the way there, we stopped at a local hamburger place called Steak and Shake. And we went to this hamburger, and this place was hopping. People were coming in and out of this. And I mean, we sat down and had lunch, I think, in 15 minutes. Look at me, split, we're out of there. But the waitress, I've never seen anybody, I mean, she was like over the top trying to be friendly, you know. Can I wipe your face for you? How's the French? I mean, I never asked, I mean, I could barely swallow the food. I mean, she was like, but it's the idea, it's the heartbeat of a waiter to walk in and say, how can I serve you? You know, when I'm thinking right as a member of this body, I am treasuring the way the master carpenter, number one, that he's placed me in this body. Number two, everyone else that he's placed in this body. And my attitude when I walk in when the body gathers is, how can I serve you? Like a waiter would ask. 1 Peter 4 says, you've received the gift. Use it to serve one another as a good steward. In other words, as a manager of God's property. You're not an owner. You're a steward of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. These are not my words. These are God's words. So I come in humility as a speaker and say, these are the utterances of God. I look to Him for His words. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. I acknowledge that my giftedness within this body is because of the strength that God's supplying to me. I come in humility and I look to Him for continued strength. So that in all things God may be glorified, God may be magnified as how great He really is through Jesus Christ. And who is the body of Jesus Christ? Us. As all of us together are employing the Spirit-given abilities and doing acts of service with varieties of effects, yielding ourselves to the Master Carpenter and doing what He made us to do, this body is growing up into Jesus and going out for Jesus, and God is being greatly magnified Because people see Jesus. To whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so, the church is enabled this way. God gives Jesus exactly what he needs. That's how the church's mission is enabled. The church's mission is to grow up into Jesus and to go out for Jesus. How is this going to happen? God gives Jesus exactly what he needs. All the tools, all the materials, and Jesus does it. So I ask all of us this morning in conclusion, will you yield to the master carpenter who has placed you in this body and made your mind think a certain way and your heart feel a certain way, and you will embrace and do what he made you to do? Will you yield this morning? And then, will you commit to live, to love, and serve this church body so that God will be glorified through Jesus? And his mission will be accomplished here. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we praise you this morning for your amazing wisdom and beautiful craftsmanship. And we confess to you, Lord, many times as we've gathered together as a body, it has not come with the spirit of serving one another, and we have not treasured one another. Lord, today we understand anew, and we pray that we will not forget, but going forward we'll really grasp what a special thing it is that you have placed us in this particular body. Lord, may every member, not a tender, every member, embrace what you have made us to be, yield ourselves completely to you, and do what you made us to do, so that you, Jesus, that you, God, may be glorified through Jesus. And to you, Jesus, belongs all the glory and dominion forever and ever. We ask that you will do this beautiful thing here in Providence and Down City Church, so that when people walk in the doors of this church gathering, or when they run into us as the church in the city, that they will have a sense that they are in the presence of Jesus, because all of us are being growing because of everything that all the joints are supplying. Make us into a beautiful body for you, we pray, for your honor and glory. Amen.